Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org. Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
And be separate to me, says the Lord, and I will receive you. That has always been the message of the Christian faith, that even from Genesis chapter 3, God set apart two different peoples in the earth, a people who would believe in the Lord Jesus Him and receive from Him righteousness and life, and a people who would turn away from Him. And what a tragedy, because the message of Scripture is the Lord extends His hands as the Lord Jesus Christ did when He walked on this earth, and He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in coming to Jesus, we are set apart to Him as a special community, a chosen community, a holy community of faith, as we proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. We're going back to the book of Exodus today and looking at the fourth plague of flies that teaches us this principle of being separate to the Lord, a people separate to Him. That is so important today because the church doesn't look very separate from the world. And because of that, because we are so worldly, our witness is lost. We're going to look at this today on Abounding Grace, hoping to recover what the church should be as a separate people, proclaiming the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we direct you to our website at agradio.org. agradio.org is the website. Download the podcast, write to us. We love to hear from you, and all of your support, 100%, goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Call us at 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. Download the apps for your smartphones. We want Abounding Grace Radio to be a great blessing for you as you continue to grow in understanding the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Here's that message now from Exodus chapter 8, which I've titled Lord of the Flies, and may His word today richly bless you.
Well, it should go without saying that we are facing today as Christians challenges. We've been looking at this in our study of the plagues that are really unlike generations before us, especially with the recent challenge that there is happening on a worldwide level, a sexual revolution. You're seeing this sweep through countries. You're seeing this sweep through nations, and we're right on that path. What interests me this morning is not to get into all that, but the drive behind it. The drive behind it, because it has nothing to do with tolerance of different viewpoints. It has nothing to do with varying viewpoints. What's behind it is conform or else. That's what's behind it. That's where what we're seeing happen. Conform or else. There's no allowance of a dividing line. There's no allowance of varying viewpoints to be tolerated. And if we don't conform, we see clearly that assaults and legislation and things are coming. We're a little scared of that, aren't we? Aren't we a little bit scared of what that's going to look like in the future? Aren't we a little bit scared of where it all is going to go? Aren't you wondering how far this might go and if it will lead indeed to persecution? Make no mistake about it. What is happening is an assault on God's creation norms, on what God established at creation, at what God defined at creation, and to obliterate distinctions in sexuality, no more distinctions as God has defined them, does that scare us? For a long time, I suppose we could somewhat hide our distinct identity, but have you thought about what it's creating? For those who are willing to stand, it's creating a clear separation in the earth on this issue. A clear separation about who the children of God are. I was giving thought to this. It struck me how much God wants distinctions maintained. It struck me that God even creates lines that drive out and make for separation. As I came to the plague today, I asked this question, what is this one about? What is this particular plague about? And this plague has a great intention that is put in the heart of it that the Lord wants us to see in this particular plague. It is that God is separating out and making a clear distinction about who his people are. God's doing this. And Pharaoh was trying to hold them into conformity. Conforming them to Egypt. This is why when you open up the commands and it says, the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery, they were conformed to him. They were conformed to the ideals. And one of the truths that permeates the Bible is the truth that God has made a big difference between his people and the world. I mean, that truth runs all throughout the Bible and started at Genesis 3 when he separated out two peoples. We struggled with that. And I think at times we're embarrassed about that. I love this message in this particular plague because God is telling us through it, don't fear what's happening. Don't fear. Don't fear what you're seeing happening. I'm making a distinction. I'm making a distinction. And so, as the world says, conform or else, the Lord has a message to them. I'm the one delivering and saving a people to myself. Aligning against me is a death wish. Aligning against me, says Jesus, is a death wish. And you're going to see this morning that whole picture put on display before you in this plague. And I hope it encourages us to appreciate that God is making things clear for us. Maybe for a while where we've lived and what we've done, it hasn't been so clear. Everyone seems to say they're Christian. I had somebody say that to me today. Everyone seems to say they're Christians. God's making it clear who are his and who are not. And we can learn a lot in this plague about the strategy of Satan to force us in conformity to his ideals and his thoughts. This morning we begin the second cycle of plagues. You'll notice again, like the first plague in the first cycle, Moses is sent to Pharaoh at the river. In the second plague of each cycle, Moses goes into Pharaoh's house. So you have three sets of three, and then you have the tenth blow, the tenth plague, which is death. So you have here beginning the second cycle, and in each first plague of each cycle, Moses is out by the river. In the second plague, he's in Pharaoh's house. And in the third plague, it's just an unannounced blow. God's very strategic here, and we know he's been kicking over their gods. All of this leads to that tenth plague of death, which is the path of those who take a stand against the Lord and against his anointed. Verse 20, we come to this morning, and we look at this fourth plague of flies. So then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, or else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, also on the ground on which they stand. And say to him, thus says the Lord. Notice that emphasis in this whole thing again. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Now, I read this past week, and I thought, what in the world? This guy is that stubborn? He goes back out and stands by the river? He goes back to that God again? That was the God Hapi that the Lord had already kicked over. He had already turned that God to blood. He had already turned their Nile worship to blood. Remember, this is all specifically targeted against Egypt's idolatry. And it's a powerful point, I believe, to make here that God is plaguing Pharaoh's gods and them, and systematically and strategically shaming all of them. The greatest being this God Hapi of the Nile. I've observed and I've said over and over that the Egyptians worship something like 80 different deities. They recently uncovered another one. They found 100 mummified cats. Can you imagine that? Cats, of all things. He's out doing morning devotions again, out by the river. Pharaoh would go out to the river, and he would stand there, and he would sing to Hapi. We have that documented. We have real praise songs documented. And he would sing, and he would pray to Hapi. Well, here's Pharaoh before their life source, and we have these prayers that he would raise up, but there was one that I thought was fascinating, that I can hear Pharaoh praying out by the river. I call unto thee my father, Num. I am in the midst of all my foes. All have joined themselves against me. I am alone. Deliver. Help me, Hapi. Help me. These foes have risen up against me. This God Yahweh has risen up against me. Deliver me. On every side they've come at me. Deliver. As I reflected on this, I keep coming back to the truth. No one's free. No one's free. Look at the power of idolatry. Do you see it? He's back bowing to the Nile. We have to think deeper about the control of sin in people's lives. There was an article on why people have addictions, and drug addictions have puzzled scientists for years. There was an article in the Harvard Medical School, a journal that published an article called The Addicted Brain. And what it said there is that we all have a normal desire to satisfy a need or fulfill a desire in our lives, and that is called the reward pathway. Rewards in nature come only after effort and after delay, this article said. But drugs give people an immediate shortcut to the pleasure. And that's why people relapse in all kinds of addictions all the times, especially in great periods of stress. If you were to put this in spiritual terms, when people are stressed and empty and depressed, what do? They return to the things that give them release. They return to those things that provide immediate pathway to reward. Sin is an immediate achieving of pleasure in running away from God. It promises immediate release. That's ultimately what sin does. And it's a shortcut to numb problems. That's why we run to it. That's the problem of the sinful nature. We're slave to that path. The Bible says this everywhere. The Bible describes this everywhere. It's illustrating the mind of those dead in trespasses and sins and under the control of the prince of the power of the air when it says, even in Ephesians, that I testify in the Lord that you shouldn't walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of the heart, who they're completely past feeling. They don't even feel it anymore. They give themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, he says. if indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. How many times have you run back to the same sin? How many times? How gripping is it? What does it promise you? It's offered you an escape. It's offered you an escape. It's the same old sin. It's the same old idol. And it's offered you an escape into some kind of pleasure realm away from the hardship of it all. How many times have you returned? How many times have you come to the Lord for the very same sin and you hate having to come over and over and over? He has to give you victory. Aren't you seeing it? Now, I say all this morning. I rehearse all of that to say Pharaoh is like a dog returning to his vomit. People follow him blindly, but this is what makes Exodus so powerful, and I'm going to keep saying it because the scripture keeps saying it. God keeps coming and saying, let them go. Over and over and over and over. You keep crying out. He keeps saying, let go. He's relentless. He won't accept the bondage for his people. There's no other option than for you to be let go. You get that? He won't have it. I will free you, says the Lord. I'm going to shatter the bonds. God says to Moses, you go into the midst of that place, that Nile, where he's worshiping, and you tell him he will not hold my people anymore. He needs to let them go. God says, okay, if you don't, I'm going to swarm you. I'm going to swarm you with flies, Pharaoh. Really, the meaning here is dense or heavy, swarms. I'm going to swarm you with flies. What was that like? Well, do you like one fly? One of my greatest hindrances in preaching is when a fly is up here. You can't see it, and I want to grab and go crazy. Flies are awful little creatures. Did you know there's 119,000 species of flies in the earth? House flies, crane flies, black flies, fruit flies, horse flies, dog flies, blow flies, stable flies, ugh. I learned in science class years ago what happens when a fly lands. Everything imaginable. You never want it on your hamburger. In the Nile, they carried typhoid fever, cholera, worms, even the polio and tuberculosis viruses. Swarms of them. When God sent them, we read the land was ruined, verse 24. Ruined. Whatever it was, whatever kind of fly, we'll look at that here momentarily. It was a bunch of flies that was so common to them, it absolutely swarmed in the heavens and on the ground. One of the most common to them was the dog fly. What an awful name. The dog fly. It would run around, fly around, and drop a needle right into you. Psalm 78 picks up on this so strongly. It says that that the flies, God sent swarms of flies that devoured them. The Egyptian dog fly would put long needles right into you. And what's happening is that the imagery that we're getting from this plague is this. The flies were devouring the people. The Bible says they were consuming them. These people were obsessed with cleanliness. This would be like sending a swarm of flies over Hollywood and they're all needling our stars. Let me give you a little more perspective here. What did the Egyptians believe about the fly? Well, one of the flies, the ichneumon fly, the Egyptians believed was the revealing of the god Utachit. They had a flying beetle called the scarab. The Egyptians believed that these scarabs were then in control of the sun, rolling it back and forth to provide light. The flying beetle was regarded as the emblem of the sun and also referenced as the god Kepher, the god of resurrection, by the way. But really, the greatest connection here, I believe, is what the Egyptians knew and what they worshipped as the god, fly god, Beelzebub. You know that name. You've heard that name. He was the great protector who kept the swarms under control and prevented natural disaster in the land. You know what Beelzebub means? As it was when they understood it? Lord of the flies. Lord of the flies. And now you think about Matthew when they said he doesn't cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. It became associated with Satan himself, this god. The Philistines were so taken by this god, they also adopted him as their god called Baal-zebub. You see Satan? Oh, he's right behind all this. The question is, what was this plague designed to do? Well, I think verse 22 is the most remarkable verse of the section. This is the heart of it. God gives you the heart of the plagues. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow that sign will happen. I love that section. The swarms will be so bad, they will cover the ground and the sky. One of you walked up last time and says, well, what's going on with the Israelites with all these things? What's going on with them? Are they getting hit? And the answer is no. One of the greatest messages of these plagues that God wanted conveyed for future generations and for us, but also for them, was the simple truth: I want to make a clear distinction between my people and your people. I want a really clear distinction. Remember Genesis 3 and the two types of people that the Lord set apart. After the fall, he said, there will be the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, the seed of Christ and the seed of Satan. Jesus was saying this all over the place, even speaking to the Pharisees that their father was the devil. Did you catch it? No flies on my people. I am the Lord. But here's the great truth. I want everyone to know I am in their midst. I bet you missed that. I missed it reading it. I'm there. Glory is in their midst. I think Moses must have been overwhelmed to write this and to reveal this. I can't imagine the excitement when this was communicated and Moses put this down in the Pentateuch, the first five books, and he was describing these realities. Because this is the name that's mentioned here that appeared to him in the burning bush. I'm coming down to the gates of Goshen. Everyone's going to know this. Who appeared to Moses in the burning bush? We looked at that. Same name here. But it was the Moloch Yahweh. The angel Yahweh is how it's translated. This was the promise to Moses. I'm going to be with you, Moses. That's the sign. And I'm going to bring you 3 days out. I'm going to bring you to Sinai for the worship service. I'm going to be with you the whole way. This is the theme of Exodus. I'm coming down. I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to shield you. I'm going to deliver you. Now, the text is shouting to us here, and the translators, they put a little number there. Don't miss this. Look at verse 23. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. I was mesmerized when I saw that the word in Hebrew is the word ransom. I will put a ransom right between the people. I will put a ransom right at the gates of Goshen. In their midst, I am in their midst. Now think of the whole story here. I want everyone to know I am in their midst. There will be a ransom there. A ransom in the space between Goshen and Egypt. Do you see the imagery to this? Do you see the beauty of the imagery of this? You need to be bought back. Price needs to be paid for you.
Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Peace.